guys, welcome to the Save Continue podcast, where we get together and talk about video games and video game related stuff. I'm Shanae Howard, and with me is Tommy Shelby.
Hello.
And Ryan Robinson.
Hi.
So guys, what have y'all been playing since we last talked to each other?
I still have not been playing too much, but they did end up porting the PSP Ridge Racer 2 to modern Sony consoles. So I started like playing some of that because that's a fantastic game. But like, the port is like as bare bones as they could possibly make it, right? Like, I understand they're just porting over the ROMs, but like with all this, these PS1 and PSP games that they've done so far, they've up-resed it and added trophy support and things like that. This is just like a straight port. So I said, fuck it, and I just started emulating it instead. And then I've been playing, because of that, I've been playing a lot of Ridge Racer Type 4 as well. But both still fantastic.
How much sideways driving are you doing, Tom?
So much.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah, that's how you win, you know?
That's the only way to win a Ridge Racer.
And you want to unlock that Pac-Man mobile, you got to do a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the Pac-Man mobile just look like Pac-Man?
Yes, in Type 4.
Does it go waka waka as you drive it?
No, but you do unlock like this remix of an old Pac-Mania song. So that's something. But you gotta play a lot of fucking Ridge Racer Type 4 to unlock that Pac-Man car.
Oh, that's for elite drivers only.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
But yeah, they're still great, man. And like, it's so sad because, you know, PlayStation 1, 2, and 3, PSP, PS Vita, they all had Ridge Racers. And then with PS4, they just kind of stopped, you know?
Yeah.
I think, within the last few years.
Ridges to be raced upon. They ran out of ridges. So
I'm sorry, Shanae, you were telling a bad joke? Zing!
Got him. Got him.
I'm just fucking around. But
why do you hate me?
You know, like, they released some mobile Ridge Racer, which I have not played, but I hear is quite bad. And I was like, man, a new Ridge Racer would be so sweet.
I just feel like mobile.
I have played it, and it is bad.
Mobile games never seem to feel that great.
Well, people like, what's that Game Loft one everyone likes so much?
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
That's like Asphalt or something like that.
Yeah, but that's because the cars practically drive themselves in those games.
So. Do they?
And also,
Horizon Pace was good. That started as mobile.
Yeah.
The Crazy Taxi mobile one wasn't good.
Yeah, it was okay. Ryan and I played it. We did gameplay specifically of the mobile port of Crazy Taxi.
I know, I remember. I wasn't a part of that recording.
Very, very weird ads in that game. But
like, I just like Ridge Racer so much more than any modern racing game I've played, you know?
Yeah.
Even the ones that I've enjoyed, I like Ridge Racer more. I'm like, if they could just redo Type 4 or, like, redo Ridge Racer 2, like the one that just released, like, gussy it up a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Those games are still so good.
I just feel like so many racing games are so married to the concept of being realistic in some way or kind of simulation-like. And I really miss the days of like games like Ridge Racer or MotorStorm, games that were just like really ridiculous and were just
fun. Well, and people forget too, like on the PS1, it wasn't really until PS2 that like Gran Turismo overtook Ridge Racer. Like, they were competitors for a time, you know?
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
Considering Gran Turismo puts out a game once every 25 years. So,
but like, you know, there are more good Ridge Racer games than bad ones. And I would really like a new one. And like, you know, what's funny is like, I've always liked all the Namco references in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's some that I didn't even notice, or maybe I just didn't know them at the time. But, like this game references, like, Klonoa and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, two references Tekken, and I'm like, man, there's so much they could do with that now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe a Dark Souls car.
But that's really it. I haven't been playing too much video games, so that's really about it.
What about you, Ryan? What have you been playing?
Just a few select games. So a couple of weeks ago, Kaylee and I decided that we were going to do this like little alphabet challenge where we try to beat one game for every letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
The game that I chose for letter A was A Plague Tale: Innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I like that game a lot. It's a really cool game. I like the little boy Hugo. I protect him. He's my son now. He's really important.
It's my boy.
Can I just say, I feel like A Plague Tale: Innocence should have been in P.
So we had a conversation about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is that? What is the A in that sentence?
Like when you go to the library or to like the record store, you know, so that would have been in P.
The V is in W, not T.
So in PlayStation considers it an A.
Sure.
So okay. It's an A. But yes, we did have a conversation. We had a conversation about A and the, and
yes,
it was a whole thing. Anyway, the game is really cool so far. Looking forward to playing more of it. I also, because we were getting ready to watch the show, I continued my platinum run of The Last of Us 2. That's going pretty well so far. They make it exceedingly easy to keep track of like the collectibles and everything. Amazingly enough, this was only amazing to me because of like, after playing through the first game, but like there are no difficulty related trophies. So you can kind of just get the platinum on whatever difficulty you want, which I think is pretty cool. And they do a really good job of like letting you know how many collectibles you got in each level. But that's only on the main title screen. So like when you're actually in the game, you don't know. So I've been using a guide to kind of make sure I get everything. And lastly, I have been Monster Hunter Rise came out on PlayStation finally. So I've been playing a shitload of that, and that game fucking rules. Enjoying it even more than I was enjoying it on the Switch. I feel like playing it on the PlayStation controller has just been more pleasurable for me.
What kind of Switch controller are you using? Joy-Cons?
I was going between the Pro controller and playing it handheld.
Yeah.
I think I just like playing it on PlayStation more.
Sure.
But also now I have trophies I can get, and everybody knows that the RNG in Monster Hunter is nothing but not ridiculous. So that will take me about 12,000 hours. I have 2,000 hours in Monster Hunter World, and I still don't have the platinum in that game because the RNG will fuck you. Anyway, those are the games that I've been playing
in a good way.
Yeah,
in a really good way. So I finished Ragnarok, at least as far as like what I was contemplating maybe platinuming it because I was having such a really good time. Yeah. But then like a lot of the platinum stuff is pretty grindy, like the trophies that I don't have. And I have only two bosses left, like two optional bosses. I finished like the main story and everything. And those two, I even like changed the difficulty settings to like the easiest settings because it's one of those games where you can like change it as like will. And there definitely was like another optional boss that I did change the settings on for as well, because I was like, I just kept getting super close, and I was like, all right, I'm getting frustrated, and I don't want to play this, and I'm getting to not want to play this, so let me just like get this guy over, keep going on with the story. I'm done. I even changing the difficulties, I still like not like a little bit. Not like, I mean, I kept getting them more than halfway done, but I was just like, I did each one like maybe 10 times and like trying different armor sets, trying different things, looking online to see what other people suggested. And a lot of the fight styles that I saw to beat both of them are fight styles that I'm not really comfortable with. Like, that's not really how I think or what like my muscle memory is for that. So I tried with one of them to like You know, I went out and, like, grinded a bit to try and get used to, like, the moves and what they were doing. But it just, like, didn't feel good for me. So I was like, I'm done. Like, I beat the game. Like, I don't...
Can I ask, like, you spoke very highly of the first game. Mm-hmm. Like, when you played that, you talked about it a lot on this show. Do you like it as much as the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
No, 100%. I like a lot of the changes they did as far as, like, maybe I'm misremembering, but I do feel like the fight style is a bit, like, easier on this one, like, because the skill tree is, like, you unlock certain moves, and then if you do certain ones of them, like, enough times, then later in the game you unlocked where you can add bonuses, like extra damage or extra elemental stuff or things like that. That's new, and I really, really liked. But I just felt like it felt like a better flow when you're fighting, like, going from one move to the next. I feel like they did a lot more callbacks to the original series, like, in his storyline in Greece. I mentioned that before. So in the first one, you don't really play as Atreus. Like, not really, but, like, this one, you, for, like, a lot of the game, you go back and forth between being Kratos and being Atreus for different chapters. And I didn't think I'd like it because I was really annoyed with Atreus in game one. And I know I've talked about it on the show before. Like, he sometimes fucks my shit up. This one is, that happened far less. And, like, when you don't have Atreus as your little, like, ranged partner, because, like, in it, if you press square, then Atreus will do, like, a certain, different arrows that do different things. So, but, like, this one, you have Freya, like, with you, when you don't have Atreus, so, to be, like, a ranged person. And I feel like both of them, like, were more helpful than hurtful, which I did not feel was the case in the first game. And I know I talked about it before, where you brought it up, where people are like, oh, it feels like you're playing a movie. Yet again, like, it felt great. Like, maybe it's just because, like, this is the first, like, big, like, this is the first AAA game I've put on the PS5 or whatever. It's just, I kept getting amazed by walking into, like, a cutscene where they're talking and then just, like, walking out of it to where it didn't feel, there wasn't, like, any loading screens. There wasn't anything, like, weird going on.
Well, because it's all in-engine, right?
Yeah, so, like, it felt really organic and good as I was going through the story to that. Some of it was a little annoying because sometimes, like, with a lot of games, you can tell before a cutscene happens that it's going to, and some in God of War you can, for sure, 100%. Like, it even says, like, oh, go to this person, like, whenever it says, like, go to this person when you're ready, it means that you can, like, go and fuck around, and there's not, like, a timed thing to go to that. But sometimes it wasn't, like, as obvious, so I'd be like, all right, well, after I go to this section, then I'll, like, level up my gear. Or, like, use these bonuses I have, because I'm just, like, not in a section where it feels like, or where I can change it, or it feels good to change it. Yeah. And there's times I would come across, like, a big fight, and I'm like, fuck, I'm under-leveled right now. And so, like, yeah, you know, there's, like, I'd definitely say it's better. I wouldn't say it's significantly better, because I still really like the first one, and I feel like, obviously, it's a sequel, so, of course, without the first one, this one wouldn't exist. But I do feel like they took a lot of things that fans said that they wanted and implemented them in a very way that doesn't feel, like, super fan service-y. It just feels like, oh, this is just the logical next step in the series.
Sure. Would you say they were quality of life changes?
I would, actually. I really tried to avoid using that phrase. But yeah, there's so many, like, as far as, like, the buttons and the actions, it's a lot of really great quality of life changes, and because it's, like, not that the console's, like, brand new, but I like that it used the, like, the controller thing, like, when you had to do certain actions with the trigger buttons, and it now has that, that feedback where it'll, like, push back on it towards, like, the different difficulties. I like the small things there, but a lot of the quality of life changes were great. Like I said, like, the easier going to different combinations, the way that you can level up some of your skills, and if you have now, like, if you have enough points where you've unlocked all your skills, you now have new goals, which is to use those skills in different ways, so you, then you can unlock bonuses to them. I talked before in another episode about, like, just the settings feel like it's a PC game settings. There's so many to them, and all the things that you can do as far as, like, also accessibility stuff with, like, subtitles and stuff like that. I don't know. It's fantastic. 9 out of 10, would recommend. For sure. And then, and then I'm just, like, now trying to figure out what to do until I can get me a used copy of Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
And so I've been replaying some other games, and then I've played a little bit of Stray since it's on with the PS Plus.
Stray was fun.
I played, like, literally 10 minutes of it, and then someone knocked on the door and Luna went crazy, and...
It's very short, you know?
I mean,
like, you'll finish it quick.
Longer than 10 minutes, for sure.
Yes. More than 10 minutes.
But yeah, that's been mainly me. It's just in this, like, limbo until the next game, or to the game that I really want, I've been really excited about for a long time to come out.
Yeah.
I have been, I've been avoiding a lot of things because I don't want, like, everything spoiled for me. But I do have people saying that there's more issues with the game when it comes to, I guess, like, moral compass stuff. I don't know what to call it.
I mean, it's right.
Well, I don't know what it is, and I should probably look it up, but I also, yet again, I'm buying a used copy, so maybe, like, I don't, yeah. My money's not going to J.K. Rowling, but apparently there's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff going on with this Hogwarts Legacy game, and I don't know how or why. I mean, I know that, like, the goblins in the books were obviously, like, done off of very racist stereotypes.
Sure.
But I don't know. Someone just told me that I shouldn't buy it because it's anti-Semitic. And I was like, huh? Because it also wasn't in, like, a place to where we could, like, talk. It was at work. Someone said it at work. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you in a meeting. Like, right. But okay. Like, this is now an awkward thing where I feel like I should defend myself for wanting to play a game that's apparently anti-Semitic and not knowing it.
I mean, you didn't know.
Instead of not knowing it, yeah. Like, yeah. So I'm just like, I'm not going to ask for details because this is not the platform or the time to do this. So sure. I've been trying to avoid stuff to not to spoil so I can still feel like a lot of magical things about it. Like, I've seen, like, I'll skip through some of the gameplay stuff, but I guess I need to go look and see if I'm going to be being anti-Semitic by playing it. But that'd be really unfortunate because I just want to go to a magic school and learn some spells. I don't want to be problematic.
Let me tell you something, all right? A lot of people are out there playing this Call of Duty. You know about Call of Duty?
I've heard of the Call of the Duty.
Right, and in Call of Duty, you go around killing people. Do you know that?
A lot of brown people.
I was like, is it a specific subset?
I was saying, playing the game...
The same type of brown people or different types of brown people?
Playing the game does not inherently make you an anti-Semite, especially you not knowing the contents of this game going into it.
Well, apparently,
but it wouldn't hurt to research a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, yes, 100%. And... Like, I just need to know, like,
yeah.
Do I just need to not tell people if I do play it?
I mean, you should be very ashamed, yes.
I don't think any reasonable person would call you an anti-Semite for playing the game, Shanae.
I mean, you should hear the things that people said about Ryan after he told us he played Onichanbara, you know?
She looked
a lot
cool.
Came out.
She looked cool on the cover, and I thought that would be a cool game to play, and I was right. So,
titties. But yeah, I mean, as long as I'm not saying that, like, oh, people's, like, feelings, or if they say why it's anti-Semitic, saying, like, oh, well, you're wrong. Like, I think, right. I feel like, yeah, obviously, there's, like, nuance to this, but I also don't, like, as, like, my own person. don't necessarily want to, I don't know how to word it, but basically I don't want to feel like anyone, because I play this game, like, feel like I am contributing to, obviously, this, like, stereotypes or, like, these harmful behaviors or anything like that.
This is the way I've always seen it, is that I think all of us, without exclusion, consume some kind of media or content that is in some way problematic, right? I think the important thing is to be able to acknowledge those things and be able to understand what is wrong about those things. But there's never going to be a case where you're going to 100% avoid it. I think you kind of just have to do the best that you can. But I don't think it serves you well to agonize over whether or not you can be perceived a certain way by consuming that piece of content. But I do think it is important to always just be aware of those things. So
yeah, I just don't necessarily know how to look at more stuff about the game to see, like, you know, of course, like, why people are saying that and better educate myself and also not spoil a game that I want to play.
Fine, Shanae. Get a used copy of it, play it, and then you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But also, like, I mean, the more problematic thing is, I didn't realize it, but I bought a candy bar the other day, and then later looked at the wrapper and saw that it's a Nestle candy bar, so that's probably...
I thought you were going to say, like, the ingredients were human babies or something.
Yeah. No, that...
You know that's illegal, right, Shanae?
What? Buy Nestle candy? Product? Human baby candy. Yeah. No. Yeah, just human blood, not meat. Yeah, we went over this earlier, when I served my... human blood buffet.
Sure.
But
yeah, I don't know. That's also just been something that's been like, I'm like, man, I've been really excited to play this, but like, should I? I don't know. I don't know. But to go back to something we brought up earlier with talking about God of War, quality of life stuff.
Yeah.
So our one of our longtime listeners and good pal Abs, we've talked about him on the show. He gave a suggestion to us on our Discord about, we have multiple different sections. One is topic ideas, and he wanted us to talk about quality of life parts of video games, like favorite improvements to a game or things we wish more games did. We definitely talked about some of this stuff in ours, but I don't think that we've ever, like, this is the specific topic that we're going on.
I like the topic. It was not hard for me to think of games and series to talk about for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is going to be just like kind of a more of a me thing, is so I really like it when Atomi games, and not all of them do this, do some sort of physical response, or some sort of little action, or anything when you make choices in Atomi games that are positive, because I can't think of one that doesn't. So I'm just going to say that all Atomi games I've played have, like, good and bad endings for characters. Some have more than others. Some have, like, 5 bad endings and only 1 good one and 1, like, great one. So sometimes when, like... So if you're not using a guide, it can be really hard sometimes to figure out where to save and, like, also which choices kind of lead you different paths. And not all of them have, like, a whole fuck ton of save spots. So I really appreciate it in mine whenever, like, I've done one that's going to go towards a good ending. Sometimes it'll have, like, a little, like, it'll say romance up and have, like, a little up arrow or have an up arrow. Or it'll have, like... Each character has, like, a little chibi icon, and it'll have, like, that chibi icon show up of the character that you're doing the choices for and have, like, a happy face or a sad face. Some sort of, like, visual indicator of, like, hey, like, because some of them, when you make choices, it doesn't matter, like, which option you pick. It's not always obvious that, like, oh, this is going to turn you down a bad lane. Sometimes it's, like, what seems like a small choice, like, what did you want for breakfast, tea or milk? And, like, that will land you down a different road. And so, like, a lot of times with all of that, and I know that that's part of the, I mean, that's the only gameplay in the game is picking the choices. But I do genuinely, especially if I'm not, it's a game that I'm not really like, if it's a route that I'm not really like enjoying and I just want playing it to get to other ones, I really like having that visual cue to let me know like, hey, you're on the right path, just keep going. Like, and that'll keep me from going to guides to see like, what the fuck did I do wrong?
Right.
makes
sense.
So I feel like that's like a good, like, as a quality of life, little mechanic in Atomi games that I genuinely really enjoy. I haven't seen anyone forums like talking about if they hate it or love it, but personally, that's the first thing that popped in my head. What's the first thing that popped in y'all's head?
A lot of them, so
just pick one though, and then we'll go around, and then we'll go in further detail.
I'd say the first one that I thought it was kind of dumb, but like totally changed the series, was the addition of manuals and reverts in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
For sure, dude. Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Completely changed the way that game plays, you know?
Yeah.
Just extending combos longer and longer, because, like, from the jump, that game was not realistic in the slightest, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, what's it matter? Let's just let you go as long as fucking possible.
Yeah.
So you're saying if I play that game, I can't get good at skateboarding in real life?
You could.
I mean, you might.
You definitely could. It won't be because of the game.
The game might inspire you.
The first two Tony Hawk games definitely had a lot of kids picking up skateboards for the first time.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, reverts and manuals, man. Manuals came in 2, reverts came in 3, spine transfers came in 4. Spine transfers, I don't think, were as important.
Well, Tom, building off the manual thing, what did you think about, like, all the, like, the Flatland stuff that they introduced in 4?
I mean, I thought that was fine. I rarely used it, you know?
Oh, that was that was my favorite thing. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, like, a lot of the stuff that they introduced in Tony Hawk, from my experience, I haven't played all of them, but a lot of stuff they introduced in Tony Hawk was always in service of new ways to extend your combo.
And, like, I think some of them add to it and some of them take away from it, right? Like, the manuals and reverts specifically allow you to get to the next obstacle easier, but, like, still actually be participating in the game, right? Whereas, like, as much as I love Underground, getting off the skateboard does allow you to extend your combo farther. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't feel like you're doing anything, and it feels like you're cheating. It feels like you're pausing your combo, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Love me some
time. First thing that you popped in your mind, Ryan?
I think it's just because I've been playing so much of it recently, but I was thinking about in Monster Hunter Rise. So, a staple of that series is, like, it's not, like, aside from, like, hunting monsters, is, like, a lot of the game involves you searching for something in the map. And a lot of it is, usually it's, like, some object or some plant or whatever to complete a quest. But the thing is that they don't give you a lot of information about, like, where in the map you can find it. And a lot of the time... that stuff kind of blends into the environment. And then a lot of the time, on top of that, the objects can be kind of small and innocuous. So you'll find yourself running past them over and over again over the course of like 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that they added in Rise, and I think this is actually new after they released the expansion for the game, is now if they want you to search for like a plant or specific like animal that you're supposed to go after, they'll mark it on the map. So, like, if I have to get, like, 50 of these animals, then, like, all of them will be marked on the map and I could just go there. And it helps because, like, one of the things that really burns me out on games is, like, when I feel like I'm lost or if I feel like I don't know what to do. And it really, like, keeps me from, like, getting bored or getting frustrated. Because what usually would have been like a 30, 45 minute thing for me is now like a 5 minute thing because I can.
Do you feel like it takes away from it at all though? Like, because if you know where, like, if it's like, okay, you need to kill 50 of these or whatever, right? And you know where all of them are, you're just going to play connect the dots. Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you feel like it takes away from the experience?
So I think that the the big difference between Monster Hunter World and Monster Hunter Rise is I think that Rise is very much supposed to be like a faster experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that the gameplay and the kind of the loop is like really is like much faster.
Sure.
So I think that that kind of serves like that overall kind of design philosophy of that game.
Right.
Whereas with World, like a large part of World is hunting and tracking stuff. So kind of not knowing exactly where something is was just part of that experience.
Yeah.
But I think with Rise, when they want you to get from one thing to another as quickly as possible, that really serves it. And it kind of keeps it from getting feeling like tedious. So I definitely think it adds to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm also what you got.
So I notice this a lot with like mobile games where even ones that like are ad free that I get through like Apple Arcade or the ones that I have to like pay for. Whenever it's like doing like time trialed stuff, like think of like a Tetris game, like it's like a puzzle game where like, you know, you lose and then you have to restart. Like, I really appreciate it whenever games have a quick restarts on those.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like having to go back to the menu, then click it, or have to walk, or not even like an like a full ad, but like a splash page for like another game they have. Because I don't consider that like a having to watch an ad or whatever. But it's just like, hey, like, you know, this is also there, and then you have to like scroll down a little bit to hit the retry button. I really appreciate when developers like really like, especially for games specifically where you are playing like Tetris, where you're like puzzle games, where you're playing the same level essentially over and over again in different ways, have that quick restart. That was like the second one I kind of thought of. I was also trying to think of like in franchises, like one game to the other, and it's really hard to like think about.
Most of mine are.
Yeah, because like for me, I just, because I have a shit memory, I just tend to think of the stuff that I like the most.
Right.
Like, I remember that, I can't remember exactly how, which is terrible, but, like, I know as far as getting, like, the different, like, modes, like, in Kingdom Hearts, like, Wisdom Mode, Strength, and then, like, the other ones and stuff, like, that, I did like how they had it where the meter and you to turn and you to utilize that was a lot easier in Kingdom Hearts 2. I couldn't tell you exactly why right now.
Yeah.
But things like that, like I genuinely appreciate it whenever like I understand like not wanting some, like an Ultima mode, that's what it's called. But like an I really appreciate when you have like these higher powers and stuff like that. Obviously not giving it to the very beginning of the game, because then like it's challenging and it feels more rewarding and you feel cooler when you can get these like big power-ups. But if it's to the point where in your game it's like only near the end, or it's like not really feasible to use them except for very, very, very niche scenarios.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy that, because I'm like, well, then why did I have this aspect in there to fucking begin with? Like, with God of War, I definitely feel like 2 versus 1, like using rage mode, you have these like different options on how it benefits you. And I also feel like it was easier to get and utilize different power-ups and runes in 2 versus 1. And I like that, because then it gave me where if I was getting fresh air of the fight and like trying to do like my normal stuff, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just pop this now and then take them out and do that stuff. And because it was easier to utilize, I obviously did it more, but also I can incorporate it in the fight style that I like a lot easier. And instead of just saving it only for boss fights or only for these niche scenarios, I can't imagine how difficult it is as a game developer or maker to try and balance out like a overpowered skill, but also make it feel organic. But I really appreciate when I can tell that there's been thought put into it,
right,
from the game player aspect. But yeah, I had a hard time thinking, because I don't know, because when I think of like quality of life, I just think of like ease of usability, and then also like small changes that aren't necessarily like breaking the gameplay.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess like for sure, like the extending like times with like your Tony Hawk game like can be considered quality of life, but I feel like that's, I don't know, maybe I'm just dumb and I don't since I don't really use this term often.
I mean, I think both can apply. I think there's definitely, it's a broad term, right? But like, I do feel like adding the manual is a small change, right? It has a significant effect on the way the game is played, but the change itself is small.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what most of these are, really.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Shana, you're just talking about Tetris, right? Like, when Tetris added things like holding a piece.
I was just thinking of that.
Or instant drop, or silhouetted piece at the bottom of the screen, right? They're all small changes, but they change the game drastically. That said, I don't like most of those changes. Right?
I wouldn't say holding I wouldn't be able to say being able to hold a piece or the shadow, whatever, or the shadow part on the bottom to show you where it goes. I could see that being a quality of life change. I don't think holding a piece is like necessarily a quality of life change. I think that's just like a mechanic change in like general.
They kind of went in the same though.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, that's the way I see it. And I feel like when most people are talking about quality of life changes, these are the types of things they are talking about.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like being able to hold a piece in Tetris. You know, I don't like having the silhouette at the bottom. I know most people do. I do like dropping the piece super fast. That's very nice. You know, I wish I could take that back to older Tetris games. But yeah.
Do you sometimes forget, like, the older Tetris games don't have that, and you keep trying it, you're like, what the fuck?
No, I play those more than I play the newer ones, you know?
Oh, okay.
But, and I like the newer ones, you know? But, like, yeah, it's just, they feel like a different game because of it. But, so, here's what I've talked about before, but, like, and it is a small thing. From The Sims 3 to The Sims 4, the addition of multitasking, right? And it's such a weird thing to talk about because, like, Sims 4 is very much one step forward, three steps back, right? But, like, multitasking is such a smart thing. Like, just being able to, like, be on the toilet and on your phone and carrying 2 meters at once or exercising and watching TV, right? Like, it's such a obvious next step for that series.
Yeah,
because that's how humans are. Like we can do more than one thing, and it also just it makes it feel a lot more realistic in some aspects. But it also just like it, it totally changes the gameplay because now like you don't have to like well, I have to do this. Like I have to do this because this is their worst metric. Whatever. Right. Like now it's like, okay, well like let's cut these things out so I have time to do these other cool things or these other aspects of this gameplay that I've never really utilized because I'm too focused on hitting all the needs of my sim.
Yeah. Which like I hope they carry forward and like expand upon in the next one. We've already seen like they are currently developing the next Sims game. We don't know what it'll be called yet, but like why not let you do any of those things that you want to do together? Like, why can't I take a shit and eat spaghetti at the same time?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everybody would choose to, but, like, as a human, I could do that if I wanted to.
Sure.
You know?
You do that when you want to. Yeah, you just haven't wanted to yet.
But, Sims, multitasking.
Yeah, need more of that. I was thinking about No Man's Sky, specifically the crafting aspect of No Man's Sky, which is, for me, had always been a little bit of like a challenge because I'm someone who really struggles a lot of the time to keep a lot of things in my head at once. A lot of crafting would be me regularly, like, it would slow me down because I'd be regularly, like, checking this menu to, like, see what the next thing I need and, like, try to, you know, get it. But they kind of, with one of their more recent updates, they really, like, streamlined it to where now whatever you want to craft, they'll show you the tree of items that you need to make that thing. And if you need to craft something to get another component, that'll be part of the tree, and it kind of streamlines the entire process for you so that you can kind of, you're always moving toward that goal as opposed to like stopping to kind of figure out like where to go next. And it seems like really small, because I think that like, honestly, if you wanted to, you could either just like have that shit on your computer or what. But like, I'm somebody who, I don't like having to go outside of the game to do things in the game. That's like kind of a, like kind of a pet peeve of mine. So being able to like have all the information like in front of me at a given notice in the game is like a really big deal. And I think that it has also made it a lot easier to, because I think that if you're not following one of the major storylines in the game, then a lot of playing that
game. What are you doing?
Yeah, a lot of, if you're not, because the storylines will give you objectives to follow, but if you're not doing that, then it kind of falls to you to give yourself the objectives, right? And so accomplishing those objectives or setting guideposts for myself is a lot easier because of the way that they cleaned up the interface. Not to mention the way that like they figured out new ways to like kind of segment the inventory menus to make it easier to like categorize things and keep them organized. And again, as someone who like really struggles with like organization and like keeping a lot of things in my head at once, it really helped to like keep everything like separated for me so that I don't find myself like getting overwhelmed or confusing myself. Mm-hmm. So that was a really big deal for me.
Definitely. I'm honestly glad for all the fans like that No Man's Sky did do so many changes, quality of life and others. I also like, I'm trying to remember, so I of like when the change of like, so the minimap that you have in like most like Rockstar games, I mean other games use it too, but that circle one,
yeah,
I remember so many games when that, like on earlier consoles, where that circle map, like it just didn't move, you could only see your perspective.
Yeah.
And the moment that I played a game where I could move that mini map on the different,
you mean
routes,
when it turns with you?
Well, it turns with you, but some of them I've played where you can like change it to like go towards the goal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, where it's not like just stationary, where it's like that was like a big, that helped me a lot, because I'm not necessarily good with like cardinal directions, but I'm good at like relative to myself or to where I want to go directions. Mm-hmm. So having that changed where it's not like either fixed, or it does like change with you, or if even if you like, or change it towards the goal or whatever, really like helped me a lot when playing games and figuring out maps. Like much more than that, like a lot of like much more than like any of the stationary minimaps, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I could definitely see that. That kind of doesn't really ruin my next one, but like my next one is also a map. It's the addition of a map to the Metroid series.
Oh,
you know? Metroid 1, I still think is a fantastic game, but it's hard to go back to unless you really remember that map, or you're going to map it while playing it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
I could not do it.
And you know what? Like, in some of those games I really like the Etrian Odyssey games and stuff like that, where you, like, you are drawing the map,
right,
you know?
Right.
That doesn't bother me, but, like, in Metroid, and Metroid, I guess, is a little bit easier than something else, like a Hollow Knight or whatever, in that, like, at least the map is a grid. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I still don't want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Playing Super Metroid for the first time, like, it's definitely was a huge, huge improvement, sure, you know?
And I'm somebody who, like, largely requires maps, especially when, like, backtracking is, like, a thing. I get lost really easily, both in real life and in video games. So, like, having a map is always, like, a huge plus for me. Like, I don't think I could play Metroid 1. I've never played it. And I don't think I could. I had Metroid 2 on my Game Boy, and I never finished it because, like I didn't know where I was. Like, I was going through the same 5 doors every time. I'd go back to my ship to get more missiles and health, and then I'd go back and go in that same loop again.
Trying to find something else, right?
Yeah, but like, and it doesn't help that enemies always respawn when you come back into the room. So like, I have no idea how far I've come. So
that's funny.
That actually, it's funny because how well Shanae's went into Tom's and how Tom's goes into mine, because I'm thinking of Dark Souls, specifically Dark Souls 3. And so Dark Souls is like a game that has, in some ways, kind of remained, I don't know the word, but there are parts of Dark Souls that have always like been really difficult for me. Like I said, I get lost really easily, right? And as the series goes on, like, those environments kind of get more intricate, and it gets kind of harder to know where I'm going. And especially, again, we're in a situation where you know, you're backtracking a lot. And also, as you're doing that, every time you breath at a bonfire, all those enemies come back, right? With Dark Souls...
Do that last statement for me, because, like, you're cutting in and out. Like, you're... I don't know if it's just me, Hello? But it seems like you're... Your internet quality dropped and you went robot.
Hello?
Did that happen to you, Tom?
No.
Oh, so it's just me. Okay, never mind then. My apologies.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
So with Dark Souls 1, they kind of introduced the idea of being able to fast travel between specific bonfires to kind of help you cover ground more quickly. But it was in Dark Souls 3 that they made it to where any bonfire that you've lit, you can fast travel to that bonfire, if as long as you're like at another bonfire when you're doing it. And someone like me, I enjoy Dark Souls, but I'm not particularly good at it, so I die a lot, right? And so one of the most daunting things to me about Dark Souls isn't so much the bosses, it's getting back to the bosses after the bosses inevitably kill you.
Yeah.
I was imagining you like killing a boss and then just being like, "Mom, can you call me on the intercom? I don't know where you are, Mom. I can't find you." But isn't like, so did you play Demon's Souls? Like the original one?
I did play Demon's Souls, yeah.
Cause that one was just the tower and you just like went in and out of that one door, right? Like, so or to go back into the tower.
You had like a nexus which served as a hub that went to all of the different environments. I don't remember specifically how shit worked within those areas because I haven't played enough Demon's Souls to say. But
all right, fair enough.
But yeah, and so for me, that's, I think that if it weren't for the way that they did bonfires in Dark Souls 3, I don't know how likely it would have been that I finished that game. And I think that I think my being able to actually finish that game had a lot to do with that. Am I allowed to do a twofer? Because I have a twofer. It's like a...
You could do a twofer. That's okay. Fine.
Because it's still Dark Souls, but...
No, just go for it. I have no more really that, like, I think would add anything that's like...
So, one of the things that I like doing in Souls games is I like playing cooperative multiplayer. That shit is so fun to me, right? The problem with it in Dark Souls 1 is that all you could do is you got your friends set down their summoning sign, and you hope that the game showed that summoning sign to you so that you could summon your friend. Sometimes that shit took like a minute. Sometimes you could be trying to get it to work for like an hour. And later, in every subsequent game, they were like, okay, we're going to let you guys set up passwords for each other so that now you guys can, if you want to play with your friends, you can very easily play with your friends. And that was such a huge thing. Because now, like, I don't always have a lot of time, right? So, like, organizing co-op sessions with my friends, like, I don't have an hour to, like, sit there and figure shit out. And then
Ryan, you are cutting out, bud.
Oh, hold on.
Real bad.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm gonna drop,
and I'll be right back.
Ryan's gone. Oh, no, he's back. It's fine. Ryan?
There I am.
There you are.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I good?
Yeah, you're good, at least right now. I've heard a lot of people talk about what you're saying, like having a friend join you in game.
Yeah.
And being not the easiest thing to do.
And like it was like, and like they don't really tell you how to make it work in that first game. So like a lot of it was like, okay, I'm gonna put my summoning sign here, and I'm gonna stand by this thing, so you stand by this thing, and we'll see if it works. And it was a lot of trial.
Ryan, you're still cutting out, bud.
Okay.
Yeah, your internet's shit right now, dude.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
I can hear you. You're frozen, but I can hear you.
Okay. You guys go, and I'm gonna figure this out.
Can't hear it again.
You guys okay. go, and I will figure this out.
Okay. So another one I had, Shanae, that I actually talked about, I think last week, real briefly, was Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, the beat 'em up that came out. They recently added this menu that is basically just this topic, right? It's a whole bunch of quality of life features that you can toggle on and off, right? And it really elevated the game for me. I really liked this game a lot, and I like the other games that Tribute Games has made. But, like, what really ruined the game for me is, like, your super meter. You know, it's a beat-em-up game. Your super meter, you can refill by, like, doing basically a taunt with each character, right? And because it's a beat-em-up, you know, once you beat up all the enemies on screen, you choose when to progress the game forward by walking forward, right? Mm-hmm. So basically what this turned the game into, especially when you were playing online, is that everybody would beat up all the enemies on screen, and then they would stop and refill their super meter, and then go on, right? And it made the game too easy, and it made the game kind of suck because you're waiting for everybody to fill up their meter, right? So, like, it's one of my favorite quality of life updates in a long time. It was, like, this whole update, you know, it changes a lot of different things, but, like, specifically that, being able to turn it to where supers cost life like they used to in old beat-em-ups, made this game, like, took this game from being, like, a 7 for me to being, like, a 9 for me, you know? Like, it very much improved the game.
So, on like a similar vein that I kind of brought up earlier with like God of War is I really liked when games started having more availability where you can change the difficulty settings as you play. Birdo, well, he's like whatever, even if it has that option, whatever difficulty he picks at the beginning of the game, he's gonna go through it. Like I said, he restarted Cyberpunk after hours of being in it because it was too easy. So right. instead of just changing the difficulty, nope, has to start off with it difficult again. But right. I mean, like for me, that was like it was nice to be able to get past that one section in God of War that that changing the difficulty down just one that gave me that I was just like I have a finite amount of time. I'm not gonna like keep going with this if like this is just frustrating and it's gonna make me not play the game at all. I also really liked. Specifically Pokemon is what I was thinking of this when games start giving you the option to turn on or off autosaves. Well, like adding autosaves to games in general was helpful for a lot of them because there's a lot of them that I would forget to save in, and not just like Pokemon, which is like the biggest thing that the biggest lesson of that is like, hey, if it doesn't have autosave features, make sure you fucking save. Yeah, that bit me in the ass a whole lot with like cartridge games, but also like sometimes having that autosave feature is annoying because I'm like, oh well, like I wanted to go back further. I saved it for a reason. So having like I come across more and more where you can turn it off or on like the autosave features, and it's nice. It's nice it's nice having the options in the different gameplays because like. Even if it's the same genre or type of games, autosaves aren't always, like, a great thing.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Like, I've been playing, over the past few years, a lot of these old-school-inspired FPS games, right? And, like, the most common complaint that you see people complain about is the lack of an FOV slider and no quick save. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, quick save is very much appreciated. But,
Yeah, because, like, with Atomi games, because the entire thing really is, like, the gameplay is just the choices you make, a lot of, like, it's just them, but it's just, like, the ones that I've been playing, because I've been replaying them, is the, is they so what they will have is like where you can have it be like auto save for chapters, you can turn that off or on. You of course can do the manual saves, but they also do have the quick save and quick loads, which are really nice, because especially the ones that I mentioned earlier don't have any sort of indication if the choice you made is like good or not.
Yeah.
It gives you like the ability to like then just go pick the choices and see if any of them seem like, oh, this is like he took this or your love interest took what you said badly or not. So the quick save quick loads are like fucking clutch in Tomy games, because it's super fucking annoying to have to like, it's super annoying to have to go and later like just go back super far in the conversation.
Sure. That was, like, one of the things I hated worst about Persona. Really, SMT games in general. Like, depending on where you last save, when you load back up that game, just going through that dialogue again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, Ryan.
Hi.
You're working? It's working now. Yeah. We can see you, you're not all blurry, and you don't sound like a robot. No robots here. Only organic humans.
Yeah, orgasmic humans.
Ugh, I wish.
I liked the term quick load.
You would.
Yeah. I'll be right back. I'm gonna do myself a quick load. I like that I fixed it.
I do too.
I have one that was I was thinking about was in racing games. Cause I have this thing where if I play in racing games, it really bothers me. Like, I've talked before about how cool I think damage modeling on cars and video games is, but the contrast of that is that if there's a racing game that has it, then if my car gets messed up a little bit, starting the whole race over. That's it. I'm starting the whole race over. So
you're just like racing, trying not to touch anybody?
Not touch anyone at all. No walls, no cars, no collisions whatsoever. So when Codemasters put out both Grid and Dirt, they both had a feature that allows you to rewind time, so that if you get in a crash, you hit that rewind button, and it's like the crash didn't happen. Sometimes, but it's like it's up to you when to stop that rewind, because sometimes I'll not rewind far enough. And I'll just slam back into the wall again and waste a rewind. But
Persia cart.
Yes. Usually they will give you, because I know that depending on the difficulty level that you play on, they will give you a specific number of rewinds that you can use per race. You can't just keep rewinding your way through a race. So
now I'm just thinking Fast and the Furious stands the time. And sure. I would love to see the Prince of Persia and Vin Diesel talk about family.
Well, the Prince of Persia.
What do they do when you're playing multiplayer, Ryan?
Oh, that's just disabled.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to fuck with this.
No. So that's just disabled. But I thought it was cool because for me, like, for some reason, I'm kind of a perfectionist about that stuff. And I don't need to be. Because the car is fine in the next race.
You choose to be.
I don't have to pay to fix the car. Like, I don't know why I care so much. But I don't know. Because I want to watch the replay. I want to watch a cool replay with my badass car. And I don't want to cross the finish line with my car all fucked up.
Well, let me tell you about a little series called Ridge Racer, Ryan. Where your cars will take no damage.
But there are a finite amount of ridges.
One of the biggest ones over the past few years is definitely like, I mean, GGPO is not new, but like rollback netcode in general in fighting games is a huge one. And like, yeah, it's a quality of life thing to the genre in general, but like you can point out specific games that have received it, right? Games that are like fucking KOF 98 got it like last year.
The Last Blade 2. You know?
Right, Last Blade 2, Garo, Mark of the Wolves, right? Like, yeah,
25
these old games are getting them, and it's like, it's fantastic. It's making people play those games competitively again. Which kind of leads me to my last big one is just like, quality of life improvements to emulation in general, right? Like, using rollback to play Smash Melee, because Nintendo's never going to give you good netcode, you know? You know, widescreen support for old 4x3 games. You know,
up-resing
your game, right? Like, up-resing your game to, like, fucking 8 times the original resolution. You know, there are other things, right? Like, save states have been around forever, but, like, the recent improvements to emulation, mods, right? Using mods in Breath of the Wild and shit like that, right? Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Homer Simpsons and Dantes from Devil May Cry in Breath of the Wild, and it's pretty cool every time.
But even I recently saw Thomas the Train Engine in Midnight Suns. They had him as a Ghost Rider because of all the flames. So that was fun. That was fun. Sure.
But, like, you know, and that's, it's a little bit different, right? Because, like, Midnight Suns can run natively on PC, right?
Yeah, but, well, like, yeah.
But, like,
I was just saying the mods.
Having like updated textures for like Eternal Darkness and playing it in widescreen and it not being stretched out. And, yeah. You know, like, yeah.
Because that's like one of the bigger challenges with playing older games like that.
Yeah.
It's getting them to getting a display that won't fuck them up.
Or like fucking Metroid Prime with like a proper controller or a mouse and keyboard. Oh, man. You know?
Metroid Prime with a mouse and keyboard would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the game way too easy, but, like, sure. It is nice.
Yeah,
you know?
But, like, you want to feel cool like Samus. You don't want to struggle. Yeah. You want to feel badass.
So. I know it's struggle.
That's the only Metroid game I've ever beaten, by the way.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, like, I feel like over the last few years, a lot of these, you know, Emulation Station and, like, Dolphin and things like that in general have just gotten much better than they were even 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. And it's only going to get better with time.
Agreed. Was there, but as far as the show goes, was there anything else that we haven't listed or mentioned that y'all want to bring up about quality of life or how wonderful Abs is?
Well, Abs is pretty wonderful.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Love that dude.
I would say, you know, I want to close by saying that Abs has improved my quality of life.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
He's That's why we're all here.
He's the vape god. So
that's true.
Yeah. Love him.
But yeah, you can find us on most podcast apps. We also are on the YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces. If you also have show topic ideas that you want to share, you can hit us up on our Discord. It'll be linked somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but you'll find it. I believe in you.
It's in the description.
Oh, in the description. There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Ryan, coming in clutch.
I guess.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.